Effect is a two-day conference that examines the work, culture, and design of social change. This grassroots event, featuring stories from multiple marginalized activists, creators, and technologists working towards social change. Again, that's Affect on Thursday and Friday, September 6th and 7th at the University of Oregon, White Stag Block, 70 Northwest Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Radioland. I am Eldridge Cleaver, the former Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio. I want you to listen to and support KBOO because Portland needs it, you need it, and the world needs it. Ubalagani, boing, boing.
Yeah, KBOO, it's 9 o'clock. Here's what's coming up for the remainder of the morning. First, on Political Perspectives, today Lisa Loving welcomes one of the founders of Kairos PDX, the Portland Charter School dedicated to overcoming the racial achievement gap. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, Project Censored features a recent speech by legendary activist Ralph Nader, who says one person can make a difference. And KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Literary Arts, presenting civil rights activist DeRay McKesson, September 20th at Arlene Snitzer Concert Hall, featuring a conversation on culture, social justice, politics, and progress. Tickets and more information available online at artliterary-arts.org. And stay tuned for Lisa and her guest.
It is 9:02 a.m. and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Political Perspectives. I'm Lisa Loving, and today, Kairos PDX Charter School is the only educational facility in Oregon that has demonstrated a track record of successfully educating Black children to the benchmark set out by the educational establishment and also the benchmark set out by parents. Am I exaggerating that? I'm not sure, but I don't think so. The Portland Public Schools District is pushing the school out of its space at the old Humboldt Elementary School, even though officials have admitted they have no plans for the space, last I heard. So we are live here in the incredible studio with Marsha Williams from Kairos, one of the founders. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Talk a little bit about, there's so much going on with this issue, but let's just start out with, what is Kairos? What is your vision? What do you do?
Yeah, well, thank you for having us. Kairos, our mission is to eliminate the prolific racial achievement and opportunity gaps by cultivating confident, creative, and compassionate leaders. So that's our mission and our vision. We're a nonprofit organization. We've been incorporated since August 2012. One of our main and major programs is our Learning Academy, which we got unanimous approval from Portland Public Schools in December of 2013. We opened doors in August of 2014. So this is now our fifth school year. We are a year-long program, so we start in August, we go through June. We are extended day, Monday through Thursday. We go from 8:15 to 4. And really, our focus is really to just how do we change the narrative around the way that our Black and brown kids access education? And how do we build leaders that can really impact and just be able to move this city to the level that we want to be able to see? And so our investment is in children. We're focused on children. We're focused on figuring out how to not have to choose between having access to an excellent education and also being able to be grounded in who they are in their cultural identity. And so a lot of what we do and a lot of what we focus on is really how do we bring out the best in our kids, and how do we as parents, community members, really impact our kids in a way that allow them to recognize the value of who they are.
And to be clear, Kairos PDX does not only accept kids of African descent.
Correct. So we are about 78% kids, students of color, of that predominantly African American. But we have, the good thing is, as a school of choice, we have families who are invested in wanting to see their kids have exposure and have access to an education that really is grounding them to become future leaders, to be critical thinkers, to really understand what it is, to how it is that we can impact our society and be in relationship with people.
Okay. So. And you're one of the founders. I feel as if there were four or five women who were the founders, and Kalee Thorne-Ladd is the executive director. I'm going to say, just in my capacity as a journalist, I feel that I first met Kalee when she perhaps worked in City Hall. I feel as if, misremembering, maybe I need more coffee, but I feel as if Kalee worked with Mayor Sam Adams, and Mayor Sam Adams was a fascinating trailblazer when it came to public education, not just in Portland, but across the entire state. He had a unique role in the history of education, and we should do that for another show. But can you talk a little bit about talk about who the other founders are, incredible group of leaders, because we're always talking about the leadership vacuum. Why did you have to stop what you were doing and start this school? Wasn't it just laying around somewhere? Isn't it already? So who were the other leaders, and why did you have to start it?
So we all have our different stories, but I'll say from my perspective, I am originally from New York, so I'm a transplant. And like most, or I want to say most, many, I think, people of color who move here, you come with a plan. And so my husband actually took a job here. And so I was on a two-year plan. And that two-year, we've now been here 10 years in Portland. And part of it was when we got pregnant, I was having my first boy. I looked at my husband, I said, so we're really going to have our son in Portland, like we're going to raise him in the city, you know? And so I'm a researcher by training and background. I was in academic medicine for over 14 years. So I immediately went to data, went to PPS, went to data, started looking. And that's when I was not aware, because that was not my area of expertise, that there was this ridiculous achievement gap. And so I literally started telling my friends, so look, I'm either homeschooling, I'm going to start a school. And little did I know, I did not understand what it meant to start a school. But I literally started saying it. And so one of my friends said, oh, I know someone who wants to start a school. And it happened to be Kali. And Kali was friends with Zalika. And so we got together and just realized like we both had vision for seeing something different for our kiddos. And so it was five of us women, four of the five of us were African American. So one was involved in founding us, like I said, in 2012, has not been as active in getting the school started, ended up having some health issues and stepped away. Four of us are still actively involved. So Karen Hikes is the other co-founder. She actually works for the State Board of Education in Washington. She moved up to Olympia about 2 years ago, had been very involved in education reform in the state of Oregon for decades. And then Zalika Gardner, who is our education director. And then Kalee Thorne-Ladd, as you mentioned, who was the former education director for Mayor Sam Adams. So, and then myself. And so we really just came together realizing that Portland needed something different, and we didn't want to have to choose between what it is that our kids can have access to. And so we It really is. And one of the wonderful things I think about the birth of Kairos is that it really is a collective, it was a collective approach. Like all of us had different areas of expertise, and it was the coming of us together that allowed for Kairos to be born. And Kairos actually means a special moment in time. And so we always talk about Kairos time. That's a very common term that we use. And we added, Kairos actually existed a couple of other places. And so we added PDX, the airport code, to make it specific to Portland. And so that's kind of how the name came to be. But the vision around it was really, all of us realizing we wanted something different for our kiddos, and more so, I think, for I would speak for Zalika and Kali to say, Zalika, who's been a longtime educator, she's a master teacher. I mean, phenomenal teacher. And after 20 plus years in the classroom, really knew what it is and what it takes. And with Kali having that policy background, they knew more about the education piece. I do more of the operations, so I'm more behind the scenes and do a lot of just trying to make things work. But I think all of us had the vision that Portland needs something different, and our kids need something different, and they deserve something different. I mean, it really is, to have the data that PPS has on Black students, in my opinion, is criminal, because it's just not acceptable. And so really the vision came from people recognizing, not that people hadn't recognized before, but Kairos time was now. And so the ability of all of us to come together the way we have is really been a big part of why Kairos has been as successful as it is.
We're listening to Marsha Williams. She's one of the founders of Kairos PDX, which is a charter school in Portland Public Schools, which the district basically is refusing to renew their lease on the facility, which their facility is in a school that also was predominantly underprivileged students and was shut down for a whole bunch of reasons. On their 50th anniversary, I will never forget that, Humboldt Elementary School. So it's kind of, in a way, it's like, well, don't get me started yet. Now you mentioned that if you had the data that Portland Public Schools had around Black students, you can't believe that they operate with such bad outcomes. That's what we're talking about. Can you talk a little bit about the outcomes for Black students at Portland Public Schools, that data? What's happening? What's the status of our Portland Public Schools does not do very well overall. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oregon does not do very well overall, all states. This is a big issue. But can you just talk a little bit about your concerns regarding this, the data for students?
Well, I think for us as a school of choice, we go through the multiple pathways department at PPS. There's a lot of focus on outcomes. Like for us, there's not as much, there is quite more oversight. So this idea that we operate without oversight, there's a lot more oversight for us as a school. However, It appears, at least from, and I'm again not an expert in education, but it appears there's much more a focus of, are they doing the right things, but not necessarily their outcomes. So in terms of the state board assessments that are necessary, there's kind of four areas. So there's the does not meet, nearly meets, meets, and exceeds. And for Portland Public Schools, across the district, there are only 13% of Black students meeting or exceeding.
13%, listeners, that's 13%.
And so the fact that they're not focused on the outcomes of the data, but rather the fact of, are they doing the right assessment or using the right curriculum? Like, those are the pieces that get focused on. For us, it's definitely the outcomes, because they don't necessarily focus on that piece. So that's kind of one of the distincting factors between us and Portland Public Schools and kind of how the data is looked at. But it's not something that gets addressed. I've never heard it really addressed by the district in terms of the fact that their outcomes for meeting and exceeding are so low.
I'm going to say that as a journalist that has covered education in the state of Oregon for decades now, I'm not sure if I've ever heard them do it either, honestly. And again, rabbit hole, I'm going to be quiet for a moment and say that last night there was a big school board meeting. Mm-hmm. Kairos was not on the agenda, okay? But I'm going to say it looked like more than 100 people from Kairos showed up just to contribute to the public comments at the beginning of the meeting. Can you describe what happened? And then in a minute, after you're done, we'll play some of the audio that our KBOO Morning News and Public Affairs Director Derek Crooks took at that meeting. But talk a little bit about, what's the situation?
So I think as a community here in Portland, as a Black community here in Portland, there, to your point, you've been doing this for quite some time. So this is not the first time we've come together as a Black community in Portland to recognize the importance of education for our kids. And so we really just called out to community to say, hey, this is what's happening. And we got unanimous response from pretty much almost every major organization of color that they are going to stand alongside. And this is not just about Kairos, but it's really about what is your plan for Black student success? And, you know, we had shirts made that say Black Kids Matter, because this is real. This goes beyond, you know, the kids that we're going to be able to serve at Kairos. This really goes to a district-wide problem that needs a solution. We are one aspect of that solution, but there's so many more things that need to be done. And so our outcry is, PPS, you need to listen to the fact that the Black community is not going to sit here and let you continue to not solve this problem. And so that's what you saw. You saw community leaders come out. You saw them voice their concerns. We had five slots for public testimony. So we had different leaders come out, share their opinion, share their support for Kairos, but also just really put an urgency to the issue at hand around Black student success in this district specifically.
And I want to be clear that yesterday a whole group of people and organizations sent out letters of support for Kairos, and that's the NAACP of Portland sent one of those. I'm going to say the Colt Gill, the director of the Oregon Department of Education, you may have heard of it, is in support of Kairos. We've got the Urban League and Kenge Harmon-Johnson sent a letter of support. There's a state legislator, Janelle Bynum, PALF, who I have tons of respect for, the Meyer Memorial Trust. Like, this is, you know, a lot of times when I'm on the air at KBOO, I'm always saying there's a leadership vacuum. It's local and national, but there are leaders, and you're quiet and you're working on specific things, and we don't always hear your voice, and you're one of those people. So I wonder if we can play the clip from last night's school board meeting and just listen to a little bit of the testimony that the school board members heard in public comment.
Good evening, Chairperson Moore, members of the board, Superintendent Guerrero. My name is Joe McFerrin. I serve as the president and CEO of Portland OIC and the Rosemary Anderson High School. We believe in Kairos because of our experience and confidence in the organization's effective leadership. Kali Ladd and Zalika Gardner have led the charge for addressing and changing the achievement gap for youth of color, and especially for Black children. As a leader of POIC, I urge Portland Public Schools to support the mission of Kairos and to work with us to eliminate the racial achievement gaps by cultivating confident, creative, and compassionate young people. Your commitment to Kairos through the granting of a 5-year lease. In the Humboldt School building will allow them to continue their program without disruption and secure a long-term space. This could be, and I've been around for a long time, this could be one of the most effective and obvious decisions that the district could make. And I'd like to submit letters of support from the following organizations: NAACP, Early Learning Multnomah, Representative Janelle Bynum, POIC, Department of Education, Meyer Memorial Trust, OPHI, the Urban League, MESA, PEAR, Black Male Achievement Initiative, Jack and Jill, Coalition of Communities of Color, Unite Oregon, Black Building Blocks to Success, Vancouver Avenue Baptist Church, Black United Fund, PALF, REAP, and many others. Thank you.
What I'm speaking to from Iris Bell is serial force displacement, which is defined as the repetitive, coercive upheaval of groups. The displacement is due to federal, state, and local government policies. When we look at historical force displacement, what it results in is people feeling not secure in their space, not being able to thrive, not being able to find balance or stability, and therefore it results in interpersonal and structural violence in communities. If we are truly trying to eliminate the school-to-prison pipeline, then we must think about new narratives, new ways of engaging our school system and addressing our needs of our children in different, new, and innovative ways, which is what Kairos is doing. Yeah. And although I know we have policies that are in place for a reason, we need to look at that in the face of where is the evidence that we have shown support for our children that ends in them thriving, and I just have yet to see the evidence of that. All evidence points to the fact that our children are not valued or loved or believed and do not have promise. That is what all of the evidence points to. So when we look at planned shrinkage and gentrification, they're the most appropriate characterizations of what is unfolding with the policies and decisions being made by Portland Public Schools regarding Kairos PDX. And the only way to reverse the impact that all of these urban renewal and gentrification and all the things that have happened in our community is to actually step out and do what is right.
To make this decision in a vacuum using equality instead of equity as in historical context as your guide will lead to more of the same for our children. Achievement gaps, disproportionate discipline, and school to prison pipelines. We simply will not stand for more of the same.
We are here to say, do not serve more platitudes, paternalism again. Stop harming our children, stop derailing their path to success. We are here demanding that you now serve the demands of justice for black children, for the black community, and that going forward, you commit to putting in place the resources that will lead to a quality, non-racist education for black children and all children in Portland Public Schools. Power at its best serves the needs of justice. Justice in this situation is giving Humboldt School to Kairos for the period of time the community demands. Abel Garvin. 5 years.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Political Perspectives. I'm Lisa Loving, and today we're speaking with Marcia Williams. She's one of the founders of Kairos PDX, which is a charter school that was created in the Portland Public Schools to serve students of African descent and others as well as an alternative. Well, I want to say alternative school. Let's say charter school. You know, there are a bunch of alternative schools, charter schools that we never hear about. I mean, there's so much about our education system that we never hear about, Marcia. But one thing that I do hear about is that Oregon's high school graduation rate went up this year. People were super, super duper excited. It's now 77%. Big whoopity-doo. We are so far below the national averages. Oregon's education system is it's a mess. And one of the things that I have been hearing people talking about is the fact that there's no African American people on the school board. And people are wondering if that's having an impact. But if you're listening right now, I have a couple questions for you. We're kind of looking at the quality of public education in the city of Portland, Oregon, and the Portland Public Schools. We're looking at the campaign by one facility, one educational outlet, one charter school to keep its space, to keep operating with great outcomes. This is my question. Were you, listeners, were you bused as a school child in Portland Public Schools? I'd like to hear your views on the district's track record on race, and also what are your solutions, right? If you've been here long enough that you were bused as a school child in Portland Public Schools, I want to talk to you. I want to ask you about what you're thinking. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Also, if you are an educator in the state of Washington and you've got some reports for us about what's going on with the teacher walkouts up there, let's put public education on the table here. 503-231-8187. I would love to hear from you. What do you think works? Because now I'm going to ask you that. What, you know, you've been here, you've been to other places where you came from, Marcia Williams. What were schools like where you came from? New York, you said. Mm-hmm. Are they better? Are they worse? What's different? Because I think we're in a bubble and we don't realize how messed up we are. That's what I personally believe in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, and I think I'm just learning the politics of Portland as a city, the history, I should say, of Portland as a city and how it works. I grew up in New York. I grew up in Queens, New York, and I actually didn't go to public school there. My parents chose to put me in private education just because the access to education at the time that I was growing up wasn't something that they felt the most comfortable with. I think to your point of the Portland bubble, to me, it's more the history of Portland. Education nationally is an issue. I mean, how education was designed and who it was designed for is part of the issue that we come against in the sense that, wasn't really created to have kids think critically and be innovative and be leaders. It was really designed for them to be able to move into positions that would allow for middle tier, I would say, of employees to exist. And so this idea that the systems and the way that education was created is something that's going to then create children who can be the next generation of leaders and be able to think critically and do the things that are necessarily as we move into what the workforce looks like now is just not realistic nationally. So we have a national problem for sure. I think in Portland, given the history of this state, what Portland has done as a state in terms of how they have not really been welcoming or inviting to people of color, particularly African Americans, historically, I also think plays into the systemic racism you're seeing in education. And so I bring it back to what we're seeing with the access that our Black children have to education. And the question that you posed to our listeners, as I learn more about the history of Portland and learn more about, to your point, what's already happened throughout at Jefferson, the multiple times they've tried to close it, they've tried to change the name. There's so many historical pieces of people needing to stand up for what Black education needs to look like in the city of Portland. And so as I learn more about the history and as I see what it is that we're trying to do here, I definitely think that the focus of education and the focus of how do we shift the narrative such that we can actually create solutions that would allow for our kids to thrive, our Black children to thrive, specifically in this district, in this state, I think really needs to be the focus.
We are waiting for your call. Participate in this conversation, 503-231-8187. Don't wait till the end of the hour. I know that's what you're thinking you're going to do. You've got a burning question. You should pick up your phone right now and participate in this conversation, 503-231-8187. I was talking with a KBOO staff member earlier this morning who has a child that goes to Kairos and who actually is a graduate of Jefferson High School. And we were comparing notes about how cranky these issues make us because I don't personally feel that Portland has moved forward even one jot, not at all, on these issues of equity, but I've heard it for 20 years in this Portland public schools. And I know that in the Seattle schools, I want to say that it was at Garfield High School, there was a young principal who really innovated that school years ago. And then he got kicked upstairs, I believe, which is another thing that happens because districts are not monolithic. They're made up of many individual people. And so you'll always have some great people in there that get it, but they may not be the people in charge, mm-hmm. right? So sometimes we even see that school districts say we want to replicate successful programs, but I'm not sure if I've ever seen that happen. And I would love if someone would call up and explain, your fabulous educational program that you think is worthwhile that we should hear about. 503-231-8187. But I was also listening to some people talk yesterday about, you know, some of the brilliant institutions that have emerged in the city of Portland to really support kids. There's the Portland Opportunities Industrialization Center. We were listening to Joe Farron talk about it there in that recording. There's Self Enhancement Incorporated. There's others. I mean, you have to say that Head Start has done a lot here too. Ronnie Herndon, who I believe we heard his voice briefly, genuinely one of the, I'm going to say probably one of the greatest grassroots leaders in the history of Portland, famously stood on the school board desk and, you know, helped shut down a school board meeting back in the 70s, I believe. That's how long we're talking about, back in the 70s. When you think about Harriet Tubman Middle School, that school was supposedly started, created, built as a part of a solution to families in the Albina area that had no education that spoke to them. So this issue is old. It goes really deep. And we do have a caller, and the number to call is 503-231-8187. I feel like Wayne's on the phone. Did I hear that right? Wayne? What's going
Hello.
On? What's up?
Well, I was listening to your call. And I do think our education system is not as messed up as you would have it be. I think part of it is attendance. Kids need to want to be in school. But also, I think if you check the graduation rate, it may be 77%, but that's assuming that everyone wants to graduate in 4 years. I wonder what it is if we get the next year. Does our graduation rate go up?
That is up. That is up. We started even lower. So, you know, and it's interesting what you said, Wayne, because I have to give it to my colleague Betsy Hammett at the Oregonian. She did a gigantic investigative series. I want to say it was 3 years ago. And she did discover that basically, I mean, she crunched thousands of records and discovered that actually it was about attendance. It was that the schools all over the state had no program to reach out for kids that weren't there. And or maybe there was this quiet door knocking thing. And also, public transport is a major issue for kids. Where'd you go to school, Wayne?
I went to school in a small town called Tipawin, Saskatchewan.
All right. All right. So did you have a lot of racial diversity there? Did you see these kind of issues coming up?
Well, not really. In Saskatchewan, we had Native American Indians. And, you know, I thought that we all got along pretty well. I can't speak for them.
That's right, you can't. Thanks so much for calling. I really appreciate your call. Wayne, talking about Saskatchewan, if there's somebody else perhaps that went to school in Canada, maybe you could give us a call and share your perspective, because I will say, as a white person, I'm the worst judge of what of how diversity works, honestly, because it benefits me. The broken systems benefit me just by virtue of who I am. Even anyway, 503-231-8187 is the number to call to participate in this conversation. And we've got James. What's going on, James?
Oh, not too much. You know, I think it's really good this Cairo school, because it really makes a lot of white people uncomfortable to think about how racial division really works. You know, you would think that the way that they explain it, they think that, well, you know, it's like, you know, just being black or brown that we get all these advantages, when really, you know, because they always like to bring up affirmative action, but really it's like, because we haven't changed the culture surrounding how we treat black and brown people in this country, affirmative action is essentially a handicap. But the thing we should be working towards is changing the culture. And that's why I think that an institution like this is a really great thing. So, I mean, we have so many kids being cut out of the system right now in terms of being able to have a voice. So, I guess, I'm kind of late to the conversation, so I apologize.
You're not so late at all. It's interesting because Wayne was just saying, you know, he thinks that it's basically what he didn't say was truancy. He said it's people aren't in class. and the Oregonian Live research into the school dropout rate and stuff like that did show that students' ability to keep up and students' interest in being at school was impacted by attendance. But we just, a few weeks ago, we had as our guest on these airwaves, Sheila Washington Warren of the Portland Parents Union, talking about school pushout, which I don't think is an, I don't think Wayne's ever heard of that. But what we're seeing, and I think, and I would like to talk about this a little bit too, beyond the academics, African American kids are demonized in the school and expelled and put in suspension starting in preschool. So when we see that kids of color are actually treated differently, just sitting in the chair, haven't even taken a test yet, right? So James, I just wanted to ask you, like, what other ideas do you have about how we could improve public education? I have a sense that maybe you've experienced public education. What are your thoughts about it?
I definitely did go to public school, so I mean, I understand. I mean, I was probably one of the only brown kids in my high school, and then I mean, there were very few black kids in the school that I went to. So, you know, to really improve public education, it's really understanding that, you know, there's education, it's not just what you learn in the school, it's what you learn outside of the school, and being able to bring those issues into the classroom and really discuss them in a mature manner. And the other part of it is, too, is realizing that it's not just, like you were saying, it's not just academics. It's culture. It's the home status. You know, a lot of people don't realize that because of the mass incarceration in black and brown communities, a lot of these young kids are floating between their mama's house, their grandma's house, their auntie's house. So a lot of them don't have a stable home life. So trying to give them homework and to be able to do something, but then they're worried about where their next meal is coming from, or, you know, who they're going to be staying with, whether or not they're going to have internet access, where they go, because most people don't realize that internet access isn't a universal thing right now, even though most people would think it is. You know, it's like that whole culture that surrounds who they are really affects their ability to want to be able to keep up in class and also opportunities in the community. We don't talk about how, you know, education is all fine and good, but we don't have enough opportunities in the community. You know, I mean, look at what LeBron James is doing in Cincinnati, in Cleveland, where he's got his own school going to be able to encourage and uplift black kids. So, I mean, I don't know. But public education really isn't doing enough to address the culture around what it means to live in the inner city or to be a part of a marginalized community. So.
All right, James. Thanks a ton for calling and sharing your views. If you are listening right now, it is KBOO Portland. I'm Lisa Loving. We are live in the studio with Marcia Williams, one of the founders of Kairos PDX. We're talking about public education. We're talking about the history of Portland public schools and race, which is complicated, and I'm going to say crunchy. And the number to call to participate in this conversation is 503-231-8187. Also, putting a shout out to people who are in Washington State, where teachers are doing a walkout right now. Would love to hear from anybody there who has an update. It's morning, so people in education and moms and kids are busy right now, really are. Mm-hmm. So, but I do want to say, I'm a lifelong journalist, and I personally feel that media is damaging in some of these cases, right? So I'm reading an article about the other thing that's happening right now is that Tubman Middle School has been reopened. I'm going to put this out. The Portland Public Schools actually staff, they sort of gave themselves a whole lot of work to do in a very small period of time. And some critics are saying they didn't give themselves enough time to really organize it. So anyway, let me just say, I covered in 2012, I covered the closure of Humboldt Elementary School. It was their 50th anniversary as a school, and it was a very diverse school right there in the heart of Albina, honestly. And there was one woman who worked there, an African-American woman who actually went there. So she was this fascinating line of continuity, amazing staff of people, a diverse staff of people. And, you know, as a journalist that's covered Portland Public Schools for many years, the district gets different leadership, and they'll decide that they have to shut a bunch of schools. And they'll do it, right? I feel like, and then, you know, this actually disrupts entire neighborhoods, actually. In fact, it can. And then there'll be another district, another superintendent, such as the one we just got, who incidentally hired as his academic, the guy in charge of academics is a guy that was fired after his last job, after only being there for like 3 months, but that's okay. I'm not even talking about that yet. I'm just talking about basic competency of school districts right now, honestly. So the last school district superintendent who couldn't track the lead in the water wasn't being honest with families and stuff about lead in the water of the schools. That's why she's not there anymore. And her spokesperson, don't get me started on that guy. Too much deep history here. I'm going to be real with you. There was no real reason why the district needed to close Humboldt Middle School. And that school had a deep, like a media lab. All these little kids were learning how to make videos. They were doing incredible things. But the school got shut. And anyway, the other thing that kind of has happened with Tubman Middle School. Tubman Middle School, Kairos, PDX are not linked, okay? These stories are not linked. I do want to say, though, when we're looking at what the Portland Public Schools is doing right now, there are quite a few critics of their policy and their ability to complete tasks that they have put out to them. There's been a bit of press about the reopening of Tubman Middle School, which is, you know, linked to Kairos in that they're in the same Jefferson High School catchment area. Again, not the same schools, not the same issue. But Tubman is being reopened. It just reopened this week. Actually, everybody supports the temporary principal there. Everybody loves this person. I've never met her before. But people are looking at the situation that the district put on that school, that I've heard all kinds of things. Like they had to open on too close of a timeline. I just wanted to talk a little bit about, again, it's me, I'm old. I want to talk about the school that was there when the school district closed, Tubman, okay? Because that one broke my heart. When Portland Public Schools closed the Young Women's Academy, it was called. Okay, that was also in 2012. Okay, there was all kinds of support of that school. It was a young women's STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math academy. They had pledges of support from Intel. I want to say more than $150,000 was pledged from Intel to the Harriet Tubman Young Women's Leadership Academy. That's what it was called. All kinds of people came out, state legislators, all kinds of people came out in support of that school, but the district shut it anyway. Okay? Big deal, right? That school having been built at a toxic spot. See how this becomes rabbit hole time, like something out of Alice in Wonderland. Anyway, so we do have a caller. Now I'm just cranky. I'm just cranky talking about, you know, why can't we do public education right? What part of that is brain surgery? I don't understand it. Other countries do public education right. There's other places we could check in with, right? But somehow as a culture, as a society, we don't. So we are live in the studio with Marcia Williams. She's one of the founders of Kairos PDX. We've opened up the phone lines. We're saying, were you bused as a school child in Portland Public Schools? That was in the 70s, I think. So this stuff goes way back. I want to hear your views about the district's track record on race. And what are your solutions? Also, if you have any updates on what's happening with the schools in Southern Washington, 503-231-8187. Don't wait till the end of the show to call. And we have Crystal on the line. Crystal, what are you thinking about right now?
Well, I'm a cranky too.
Real sorry crazy. About I'm that, my crazy. Behavior. But go ahead, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to point out how it was funny that you said that Carol Smith had to leave because of the blood in the water. And no, she
wanted
retired.
To spend more time with her family.
Yeah, she resigned. She retired with lots of time and all of her benefits. And I'm a former school teacher, so I remember this clearly. Oh, Carol Smith. Yeah, so, and then before her...
Vicky.
Hurricane Vicky.
See, that's what I remember of her name was Hurricane Vicky, who shut down vocational education almost over the district. And this was a fateful, thing that she did. And I mean, I don't know how you can start it up again. And she fascinates me. Now I'm just ranting now because I can't stop, because this really, it's a can of whoopass, really.
How it's resulted in what we have today. So she was behind moving the schools around and starting the middle school project to close other schools. And yeah, the excuse was attendance. But like you said, the data shows that we didn't try hard enough to keep up attendance. So it is odd how, like, a Harriet Tubman, in the meantime, a private school opened up there, and then that Harriet Tubman, when they come back in, they have to deal with all the problems that, you know, the private industry didn't deal with. So meanwhile, they get to resign and retire, and Vicki Phillips went to Jefferson High School on her last days to say goodbye to the children, and oh, how she loved working with them. So yeah, I'm cranky. I'm really cranky. I don't think, as a society, that we don't know how to fix it. It's that no one's listening to us. There is an agenda, and Betsy DeVos is the final, you know, culmination of all of this. It just shows that they've planned this all along.
I want to ask you, you're our whistleblower right now, okay, Crystal? You are our whistleblower from the classroom. What should we be doing? So there's so many of us. I think part of the reason why we've never built a functional, effective movement around public education is that we're all so thrilled not to have to be in the classroom anymore. We're running as far away as we can, honestly. What do you think all of us should be doing? I don't have kids at elementary school, but I should be doing something. Crystal, what should we be doing?
Well, I hope some of these Washington teachers call in, because all over the country, the teachers have been out on strike even when they're not allowed to strike. A lot of our unions don't allow us to strike. So a lot of teachers can't even get in the union. And what they have to say is very, very important. I want to be there with them. We should all be there with them. It's very telling that they're putting money into arming teachers when we're always out there trying to help kids. I mean, the average teacher, if they're not overwhelmed and overworked and, you know, they are trying their hardest just to keep kids above water, and that they're not able to, you know, help more. And so to arm them is just to make everybody more cranky.
Right. Crystal, I want to ask you a different question now. And this is an odd question, but I actually think it kind of maybe even impacts the situations that we're talking about now. Vicki, was it Vicki Walker? Was that her name?
Phillips?
Hurricane Vicki?
Phillips,
that's right. Vicki Phillips. Now, she went from Portland to the Gates Foundation, right? Walked right into a super shiny job.
She came from the Pennsylvania. She was appointed by George Bush without any experience. She was appointed superintendent of the Pennsylvania School District.
Schools. So this is what I'm getting at, though. She went from here to the Gates Foundation. There actually is a corporate revolving door.
Yeah.
And it's only for the people at the very top. And I feel that when we're talking about these policy issues, that's kind of what we're talking about in large degree.
I think what
degree.
You said about making a worker class,
the school district exists to make people a worker class.
I think we need to talk about that more.
Now, but this is what I want to ask you, and I'm not going to talk with you all day, but you are our whistleblower now. So the Gates Foundation came out about a month ago and said, you know what, we messed up. All that money we spent on teacher quality, it was a mistake. Sorry, we're going to do something different. Did you catch that story? Did you see that story? It was here, and then it was gone.
But I know plenty of my students and also colleagues of mine from college that got on the Bill Gil Bates scholarship. And that's shocking, because they sure pushed that. Wow. No, I'll look
here. Here it is. Teacher evaluation efforts haven't shown results, say Bill and Melinda Gates. You know, they put a lot of money in that. These people, the Gates Foundation is the tail that wags the dog. So as we're talking about, you understand what I'm saying, as we're talking about, why can't super intelligent, organized people organize Kairos PDX and have it work? We haven't even talked about De La Salle North Catholic. What the heck happened there? I think that the school district pushing people out of buildings without any plan to put them in, it actually impacts this. It impacts families in bulk. It impacts families by the dozens. So, all right, Crystal, anything else?
Wow. No, I mean, the people in the room that you have with you, they know what works. We know what works. You're right. It's too bad that we're giving all of our attention to the billionaires, the people that already run the country.
It really makes you wonder. Thanks a ton, Crystal. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And the number to call to participate in this conversation is 503-231-8187. Marcia, I didn't mean to make you cranky. Mm-hmm. Do you have any response to some of the wide-ranging opinions that we've just been listening to? I mean...
Well, I think I just want to say I think what we're doing does work. I think we do have a model and we do have an approach that I think people can learn from. And one of the things that I didn't say in terms of how we were created, we actually initially intended to or requested to be a magnet school within the district. And we intentionally chose Portland Public Schools because it was one of the larger districts. And I will say all of us as co-founders are overachievers. And we figured if we can do it there, we can do it anywhere. And so part of what we were intentional about making a public school. And we were intentional about figuring out how do we change systems. We're really focused on systems. And so, you know, while the talk is definitely about, you know, our learning academy, we are more than a school. We really have multiple approaches by which we intend to meet our mission. So at most, we're going to serve 240 or so families when we're at full capacity. But we believe that figuring out how to lead professional development, which we've done already with PPS, thinking more about early education and experts, particularly around kind of who have Afrocentric approach to early education, who are experts in their own right, been doing, you know, providing childcare for decades, but don't have a voice, don't sit at the table. The policy tables that exist here in Oregon are absent of people of color, as you see even with the school board last night, and you alluded to that in some of your comments earlier. And so I think our approach is more than just educating the kids that we have. And the fact that we chose to be a public charter school and go into figuring out how we can really change systems is really what is core to how we're doing it. It's not just the why. We all know the why, but how we're doing it. There's multiple aspects to the approach that we're taking with education. And I think the how of what we're doing specifically at Kairos is the integration of academic excellence with cultural identity. That is the biggest, I think, piece of what needs to happen in terms of really being able to serve the whole child. We believe in the whole child. And the last piece I will say that I think we're doing really well at is families, engaging families and recognizing families are the most influential teachers. And so as our caller said, I totally agree with what he was saying. Like, we have to understand where people are coming from when a child walks through the door. You can't, it's not just the child, it's the whole family. And so we have a family engagement organizer who that was written into our charter, and the way that we design the school is that you have to have that family engagement. We have family council. We have two co-founders, one of them is part of the co-founding of the council. But we have two co-chairs who are also very engaged in trying to see how do we shift the narrative for our Black and Brown kids and their access to education. So I think Kairos does have a solution. I think it's the school and what we're doing with kids is great, but there's definitely a lot that we're trying to do at some of these policy tables with professional development around early learning that I think all together can really impact education.
And I want to be crystal clear. What you're asking for from the Portland Public Schools is a five-year lease at which you're paying a really actually gigantic rent increase that they gave you. Was it 30%? Mm-hmm. So you're basically asking for permission to pay a 30% increase for the next 5 years. That's what you're asking.
I mean, honestly, we want to. One of the things about being a charter school is that we actually have to operate with doing all the day-to-day things as well as everything that you would do in a central office. So we essentially do all our own hiring. We do all of our financial, all of that has to be done.
Communications, all of it.
Exactly, in-house. We don't have this separate. And so we are a small organization. We just want to be able to focus on long-term. We do have folks that we've been talking to about long-term solutions, but we can't be thinking year-to-year about where we're going to be in 6 months. And, you know, the way that facilities work and buildings work, it's not, you know, to even be in a building by July 1st, which is what they're saying we would have to be, we literally would have to have plans to the city by the end of this year. Like, it takes a long time to get through all the coding and what forth is necessary to make sure that the building's up to code. And so this idea that we can just focus on our long-term solution, be housed, have some stability. I mean, Bahia talked about it yesterday when she read the statement from Iris Bell. Like, this serial displacement, it's really not going to be helpful to a program that's being successful right now.
If I could also just say, Portland Public Schools is doing exactly what the Portland Development Commission did in this damn neighborhood for decades. Just putting that on the table, the number to call to participate in this conversation is 503-231-8187, and we have a couple of callers. Tom's on the line. Tom, what's going on with you today?
Well, Tom, I'm a family nurse practitioner, worked 25 years in the school health clinic, worked in the jail here for 3 years, the juvenile home. I saw the disparities of treatment of kids. My kids graduated from Portland schools. I voted all the time to, add every funding package we could, but I really am calling in for a supporter of Kairos. I know from experience, I've had connections with self-enhancement, COIC, because I worked at Concordia University in their nursing program for 4 years. And with that, I was also connected, I want to say, another place, which there's a school for homeless kids that they've tried to shut down for many, many years. We have to keep fighting for everything we can do to give families the support they need to get through the system to get their kids educated. And I want to know, before we go, what community can do to really support get Kairos those 5 years they need.
What I want to know, too. Mm-hmm. I really want to know that a lot. Thanks for calling, Tom. Those were great comments. And I want to hear it too, Marcia.
Yeah, so I think at this point, we're really just trying to make sure our voice is heard at the district. So continuing to email PPS board members, we will make sure that information's on our website as well. You can call PPS board members. You can write an op-ed piece. You can, I think right now voices are what we're hoping will, because we've been saying it, we've been trying to communicate. But I think the more that community comes around on the alongside to say, this is what you want to see, that's helpful. As far as Kairos itself, there's always opportunities. We look at anything people can do to invest in Kairos in any way as something we truly value. We actually call all of our volunteers at Kairos ambassadors, because we truly believe that anyone who would come alongside the work that we're doing and invest in any way is greatly appreciated. So you can do in-kind contributions, you can volunteer, you can invest if that's what you're able to do. We do have a wish list that we keep. So there's always items that our students need, that our teachers need, that our families need, that we're always looking for. So we don't, we appreciate and are open to anything and everything people are willing to offer. And in terms of volunteering, we have, folks who actually want to come down and be at the school and work with our kiddos. And we also have people who just have areas of expertise. So we have all types of, volunteers that are experts in whatever it is that they do and can give a couple hours a month to the organization. And we're open and appreciative of any of that. So.
Also, consider electing Black people to the school board. I'm just putting that out. Mm-hmm. I like this show. I'm less cranky, even though I just was cranky. I'm sorry. We've got about 5 minutes left, and naturally there's more people calling. It took me that long to wake up, honestly. This has been a tough to wake up morning for me somehow. Let's see if we can get one of those. Let's see if we can get Terry on the air. Terry, are you there? We're listening to you. What's going on? Yeah.
Well, just real quick, I think that one of the considerations that has to go into PPS's development is the philosophy of how it regards the students. And working in the classrooms at times, it just seems like the students are not the customers as much as they are the victims. And as a function of analyzing and looking at that as a process, I've always wondered what the extent to which it is that students and families opt out to go to private schools within the Portland Public School District boundaries, simply because the families or the students regard themselves not so much as customers, but also as individuals that can't participate in the direction of Portland Public Schools and the educational process. My comments aren't really necessarily a criticism of PPS, but rather just the fact that I think it needs to be analyzed how many families and how many students are being lost to private schools within the district itself with regard to the individual families' philosophies and dedications to their own students' developments, because I think it's a bipartisan issue that we all want the best for our children.
Thank you, Terry. That was completely That is really thought-provoking, and I'm going to turn around and see if I can find those numbers, because I'm wondering. I'm often critical of the Oregonian, but I have to say they've done some fascinating, incredible work crunching numbers around school attendance, like this kind of doing the job of the state, if I could just say that. We are running out of show. And I want to give the microphone back to you. Close us out. Tell us what we need to know.
I actually just wanted to comment on what Terry was saying. Thank you for your comments. I think particularly with our families of Kairos, one of the things that we are finding is we do have a catchment of families that would otherwise choose a private option. So Kairos is about 50% free and reduced lunch. So we do have families that are quite affluent within our community. And I think it's important to note that it's not synonymous. Often it goes synonymous that we're serving Black children. That means poor. And in particularly this district, it does not mean that. And I think it's important for people to recognize that because race is a greater predictor than class of academic achievement within Portland Public Schools, just the fact that you have a Black child, that is what makes them historically underserved. And so I think we do have families that have been very direct with us about the fact that part of why they have their child in a public school is because of what it is that we're doing at Kairos. And so I agree with our caller and the need to really look at that and think about how do we make sure that families don't have to choose between sending their child to a place where they feel like they're going to receive the level of education that they believe is necessary for their children.
All right. I'm going to get ready and close us out. I'm going to say thanks for listening. I'm Lisa Loving. And thanks to our guest, Marsha Williams of Kairos PDX. Find more about them on their website. That's KAIROSPDX.org. And hey, I'm a volunteer. You can be too. Come by the station and get involved. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Political Perspectives. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
In celebration of our 50th anniversary, KABU is teaming up with the Mississippi Records Music and Film Series. KABU will be hosting Coal Miner's Daughter on Wednesday, September 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. This film from 1980 chronicles the life of country singer Loretta Lynn. Sissy Spacek brings sincerity and depth to her portrait of Loretta and does her own singing in the movie, as does Beverly D'Angelo in the role of Patsy Cline. Tommy Lee Jones also delivers one of his best performances. Again, that's Coal Miner's Daughter on Wednesday, September 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Well, I was
born to coal miner's daughter. It's 10 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock, Project Censored will be here, featuring a recent speech by legendary activist Ralph Nader, who says one person can make a difference. But first, it's Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary. KABU programming is made possible by KABU member listeners and support from Columbia Land Trust, conserving and connecting people with the nature of the Northwest. More information, including tours, events, and volunteer opportunities, online at columbialandtrust.org.